thanks for tuning in to the Undercut's review of the 2024 Austrian Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and enjoy the show.
By being a racing driver, you are under risk all the time. By being a racing driver means you are racing with other people. And if you no longer go for a gap that exists, you're no longer a racing driver.
All right, so this, I believe, is the third sprint race weekend of the season. Obviously, the Austrian Grand Prix, the home of Red Bull, I guess, in general. It's the Red Bull Ring, a track that Max has done very, very well at over the past few seasons. And we've seen, you know, sometimes some okay racing and sometimes not so much. But, you know, we've had the teams, like we've said, the past few weeks are a lot closer than, you know, the past couple years. So potential for something.
Potential for something. That's yeah, something is definitely going to happen this weekend. We don't know what it is, but there's the potential for something to happen. Maybe
it was this year, this week last year, when something did happen and McLaren got quite a bit closer with their upgrades. So it's been a full year.
That's right.
To the point at which, you know, going into any given weekend now, it's always a question of, is the McLaren faster?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, you weren't on the, we did the podcast last week, and that's basically what we were discussing as well. Like,
the answer is no.
We were saying it could be true.
How can I say otherwise?
No, they're really, really close, and it's like super, super tight. And that McLaren really looks good on its tires.
Yeah. So.
We also said it absolutely depends on who's driving the car, Nick, right? Because if Checo is in front of you with the McLaren behind, he's probably slower.
Yeah. But we did get some other team news coming into the weekend. Obviously, Pierre is staying with Alpine, at least for the foreseeable future, as well as Lance, which I guess is not really a big surprise, but we were expecting that to be coming at some point.
Yeah, I mean, Aston Martin, though, they're just having an absolute shocker. Like,
yeah,
we got to I have to reprogram my brain for like what sort of performance I expect from them. I don't know where the hangover from, I guess, early last year was, or the middle of last year was the last time they did anything consistently well. Now they're just all over the place. And
They just can't seem to develop anything.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very tough.
They've got this new wind tunnel that's just come online. So you're kind of thinking, well, that's going to make things better, right? And it hasn't really made anything better. In fact, I'd say it's actually made things worse. They've been using the Mercedes wind tunnel for a while. So you kind of look and see the issues that Mercedes have had and think, well, maybe it's the wind tunnel. Maybe when they get the new one, then, you know, things will start working out. But it just feels like they don't know how to work their own wind tunnel either. So,
yeah.
Yep.
And Lance Stroll just, I guess, considered all the offers from the various other teams, but decided to stick with Aston for another couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the
in that best, way, all the offers. Best, yeah. It's like me in a nightclub. You know, all those offers just keep coming my way.
Get your coat, love. Oh, dear.
Too funny. But I guess a little bit of foreshadowing here. So there was some talk going into the, you know, parts of the weekend where the things mattered, and they were talking about the gravel traps being brought in a bit, and that they are just far enough off the racetrack that if they're touching the gravel, that should mean that they're out of bounds, is how they framed it for a lot of the weekend.
It was last year when there was just hundreds of deleted laps
There were 1,200, right. I think they said.
Yeah, just it was more of a suggestion than an actual track, you know. Just like, right, turn here if you want, and then go this
way. For me,
way.
It's like, it's a great solution. It's the right solution. The problem they always say is that if you share a track with MotoGP, you can't have these big gravel traps, because if you're on two wheels and you hit gravel,
you'll die.
It's quite dangerous. Yeah. And so they introduced these sort of landing strip, for lack of a better term, gravel traps, which are just wide enough that if you go off the line a little further, you've got gravel and you're going to be in, you know, a bit of trouble. You're going to lose any advantage, and then you're into a runoff area. And then when the bikes come around, they're just going to brush up all the gravel and get it out of there.
So, oh, right. It's just a short, like just a couple of feet wide. I didn't.
Yeah, it's like a car's width, or maybe just slightly wider than that. So that then apparently, it's not just a big, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, but then it's like, well, if they've done that for the gravel to remove any advantage of going off the track, then what's the point in giving out penalties for people exceeding track limits, because there's no advantage in it?
Right. You shouldn't be able to go off track. The going off track in itself is the disadvantage.
Exactly. Yeah. So what's the point in penalizing?
Well, they have got regulations that are supposed to be consistent across all tracks too, in their defense.
Yeah. You know. But they just don't monitor track limits at every corner of every track.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
The idea was to fix the particular issue at this circuit, right, that they had last season, which was crazy. So,
right.
But as a result, there were far fewer, because there was that real natural deterrent for going wide.
Yeah. Right.
So it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So because it's a sprint race weekend, obviously, with the new format, we do all the sprint stuff first after the one practice session, and then we jump into all the stuff for the Grand Prix. So the second session on the weekend was sprint qualifying. Didn't get much from that. Obviously, one of the big things early on, I guess, you could say big for, you know, in respects to Logan, is that he was able to out qualify Albon and get into the second session in qualifying. So that's about as good as you're going to get from Logan.
That's the second time that Logan has out qualified Alex Albon. They have both been in sprint weekends. So he's still, what? Went 30 something zero in Grand Prix qualifying.
Yikes.
And his days are looking a little less, more numbered, I guess. And I think from what I was hearing on some of the preview podcasts leading into the weekend, he started actually talking about what other racing opportunities and other racing series, including IndyCar, opportunities are out there for him for next year, because, you know, he does see the writing on the wall. He'd be a bit daft not to.
I mean, did you guys see the video I sent you of Coulthard in the parking lot? The car was, the Williams driven car was parked right into a pole. And of course, he was saying Logan can't even stay in the lines while in a parking lot. But the funny thing is, that was Albon's car.
Oh, it was Albon's car? I didn't realize that was Albon's car. I took the bait and thought it was Logan's car. But...
Oh, I missed it. I didn't see that. I'll have to go back in the chat and see.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I mean, Coulthard was hilarious, but poor Logan, because apparently Williams did some like podcast thing with themselves, and Albon was talking about how hilarious it was. And then Logan's like, of course you would think it's hilarious, because that was you parking there. My park job was perfectly fine. But yeah, poor Logan getting picked on by everybody, even when it's Albon's fault. And let's see, what else did we have from sprint qualifying? After another poor showing in qualifying in Spain, Aston was not able to get into the third session in sprint qualifying here either. So just showing how poor form Aston Martin has been in, like we were just saying. Charles has a little issue going out to qualify on hit for they everyone only did one lap in the third session of the sprint qualifying, I guess, to conserve a tire, but he had some issue leaving the pit lane and had to move over and was able to get back out, but he was literally off by like 1 second. He was not able to get back to the line to put in a lap, which was unfortunate for him. And I think Max took another pole for a sprint race, the eighth time he's done that in his career, with Oscar and George right behind. Or no, that couldn't be. Lando must have been right behind him, right?
Yeah, because Max, Lando, Oscar, yeah.
And then Oscar and George right behind them, right? I guess that's a good qualifying spot for Carlos from the way that, oh no, Checo is still way down, so disregard that. That is it for sprint qualifying.
Checo out qualified Charles, I guess, but apart from that, he was down there.
Yeah.
That was weird. That whole anti-stall thing that he had going on.
Yeah,
It was really unfortunate because then it was just like he missed out by what, 2 seconds. So.
Yeah, unfortunate for Charles, but then we get into the sprint race. So Albon, I guess, started from the pit lane, moving back one spot, so not changing much for him. We had an aborted stop, aborted start, which we had seen in a while, and I don't think we really got an explanation as to why. I don't know if either of you guys.
It was photographers. So there were photographers at turn one. And they'd been there all throughout Friday. But when it came time for the sprint, no one told them that they couldn't be there. Like, in that, you know, it's probably quite wise that you don't put people too near to turn one for the start of a race, right?
Probably.
But the photographers were there, and then someone saw them and thought they shouldn't be there. And so they sent them around again while they moved the guys out of the way or moved them to a different part of the viewing area.
Interesting. Well, I guess they were doing it for safety's sake, so that's good, but weird that they were there in the first place. Mm-hmm. But that just means we had a one lap shorter sprint race. Max had another great start, as he has been having as of late, staying in first easily into turn one, but both of the McLarens were side by side going into turn three. But Lando was able to stay ahead, but obviously my heart was in my throat at that moment, hoping that they're not going to crash into each other. And then we get obviously DRS on the second lap of a sprint race instead of the third lap. And Lando was, at least at the beginning, right up on the back of Max for a little bit. Hopefully he can keep it, is what I was thinking. I guess he got pretty close on lap four. We have those really fast turns and some really fast moments, but a lot of really slow speed corners, which is not great for the McLarens around here. And you could really see that, throughout the lap when Max was able to pull away and Lando was able to bring it back a little bit. But we didn't really see much. The top six were all within a second of the car ahead of them, but not able to really make any moves. And then eventually the top three guys kind of started pulling away, Max and both the McLarens.
And that was kind of it really for the sprint race, isn't it? I mean, there was, Lando managed to get by for like briefly, and then Max got back by on like the next corner and down into turn four. And then,
Oscar
managed to get past Lando.
Right.
And I don't know, maybe Lando just didn't have the right setup to be able to stay ahead.
But Oscar was having a much harder time staying behind Max than it was seeming Lando was able to. But he was still able to keep Lando behind him. And yeah, that was really it.
That was a sprint race.
Yeah. Lewis tried to get by Carlos a few times, but was also not able to get by.
What was the margin at the end? Was it like 5 seconds or something by the end of the sprint?
I mean, that sounds about right between Max and Lando. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah,
after that initial challenge right at the start, it just felt that, Max just managed to pull out a bit of a lead and just keep it.
Continue the conversation on pine-sports.com. That's pine-sports.com and the Pine Sports Discord, which you can find linked on the website. And join us in a one-of-a-kind fantasy Formula One contest at coopsf1.com. That's coopsf1.com, where you can put your theories to the test.
And obviously the top four teams, so to speak, took all of the points in the sprint. So really nothing shaking it up at all during this race. But I guess nice for the McLarens getting P2 and P3. Trying to get a little bit closer in the constructors, which seems to be blowing open the way that Checo has been driving the last four race weekends. But then we get into qualifying for the Grand Prix. So just like the last qualifying session, Lance was not able to get out of Q1. Alonso just squeaked by Q1 in P15 and ended up placing there because he was not able to get any better time in Q2 and got P15 for the race. So obviously pretty awful still from the Aston Martins. And then Max takes another pole again, a fairly dominant pole. I think he was, a third of a second ahead of Lando in P2. Max put in a crazy lap.
Yeah, I mean, Fernando is seemingly kind of a forlorn figure, right? The car's not as competitive as it was, and he's kind of losing quite a bit of interest. And he's just signed the new contract, so he's kind of, hopefully they can give him a better car next year, or try and bring something after the summer break that gives them something that moves them up the field a little bit, because I'm sure he didn't have 15th in mind when he signed that contract just, 3 months ago.
Yeah, back when Mercedes was looking awful and Aston was looking better than that, right?
Yeah.
Times change. But going back to what we were talking about with track limits and the gravel pits, obviously Oscar had put in a P3 time, and at turn six is where we saw all the agita, I guess, from this moment. Was he didn't touch the gravel on the outside, and it looked pretty close. I'm still not convinced that he was necessarily over the line, but I know that they have all the information that supposedly says that it's definitely over the line, but I never saw a definitive video saying or showing that. But Oscar got track limits and lost his time and was pushed down to P7, and he was very upset about that.
It was as close could be.
Yeah.
But if they've got the TV, if they've got the camera angle to show it, then whatever, they should at least, show it.
Right.
Yeah.
But it did. Yeah, that was unlucky because it was. So if it was outside track limits, it was just so tiny that it's like if you put a gravel trap there to stop people running wide, why are you picking on people that don't go into the gravel?
Right.
You put the gravel in the wrong place. I don't know.
Yeah. And I'm sure if Mark were here, he'd say, I like rules. And if you're outside the line, then you shouldn't get it. But I disagree. Yeah. It looked good to me, but obviously Max with pole again, Lando right behind him again. And the Mercedes looking, pretty good too as of the last couple races. George qualifying P3, Lewis in P5 with the Ferrari, the team right behind them, one less than each of their drivers. So we have an interesting sort of mixed up grid coming up. Let's see, pre-race, Martin Brundle did a pretty interesting interview with Toto Wolff where he was fairly honest about, the whole Lewis leaving situation. But I feel like we had kind of heard a lot of that already. So
it's still cool. Didn't break any new ground, really, that one, did it?
Yeah, no.
But they had to do something with Toto because they're in Austria. So it's like, what are we going to do? We've got to speak to Toto.
Right. And they talked a little bit about Niki Lauda, and that was kind of cool. And then we had Natalie hinting that Lando might be sick, although we didn't, I never heard anything else about that for the rest of the race or afterwards. And then Rachel also interviewed Lando, and he was fairly honest about where he's feeling too. And he seems to be pretty confident at the moment, which is nice to see. We saw that from the last race, how he was, you know, pissed off that he didn't win and that he got P2. So it's really seemed like, you know, he's going full in on winning as much as he can, which is awesome.
Lando definitely feels that his competition is Max. He's not there to fight for second place. He's there to win races.
Yeah, like in Spain, I think he was a little annoyed that they brought him in when they did, because he had the tire offset and they kind of destroyed his tire offset at the end there.
Yeah.
By covering someone behind, which I think isn't where you want to go. He wants to be pushing on, getting after Max.
Yeah. And he was still pretty close with what happened last week. But at the start of the race, Max gets another great jump off the line. Lando had to play pretty aggressive defense going into turn one just to keep, you know, George behind him. And I think Carlos was the other one that was really battling with George behind them, but he was able to hold them both off and keep P2. But I'm sure Max was loving seeing, you know, those guys battling behind him, and he pulled out over a second fairly quickly on those guys.
Did you guys think, maybe I noticed this, so I don't know if you thought the same, but I thought the lights held them for a very long time. I don't know if you noticed that when it went off, if you go back to it, but I think the stat, or not the rules are that once the fifth red light goes on, it could be between like 2 and 5 seconds maybe before it goes off, and it's supposed to be randomized. It seemed like a very long time. When I watched it, I was surprised nobody jumped the start a little bit, to be honest, but just something I noticed. Clearly I was the only one.
I just learned recently that I thought they had like a program that would just like pick a time and just do it.
I think that's what it is. Yeah.
No, I found out they actually have a person who's pushing the button that's just choosing when to push the button.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
I thought it was this lady they were interviewing her at that in Spain? It was at a recent race, yeah.
One of the last few, yeah.
And she has impeccable timing to know that it's between, she goes 1,000, 2,000, 3,000.
Essentially, yeah. She thinks she does, at least, yeah.
All right, well, I don't know. If you go back and rewatch it, I thought it was a long time, but maybe that's just my...
I didn't notice, but it's possible that it could have been longer than usual. Let's see, Lewis was able to get past Carlos into P4 right behind his teammate. And then Oscar, I guess, moved past Charles. But then that's where we saw afterwards the incident with Checo being crazy aggressive and causing, I think Charles was on the inside of the three. Like Charles was in between the three, but anyway, he came away with the most damage on his front wing and
he was squeezed from both sides.
Right.
Yeah.
And had to pit after the end of the first lap, and that was, you know, essentially ruined any shot he had of moving up from where he was. He came out in P19, and it would have been a lot of work to get up even into the points, but very disappointing for Charles on lap one.
Yeah.
I mean, Checo is just frustrated, I'm sure, and making not great decisions. But yeah, Max is over a second ahead of Lando. But Lando is over a second ahead of George too. So he was able to pull away, and maybe he would have the, you know, without the danger behind him, he'll be able to push ahead. Lewis was able to pass George into turn three, but George was able to take it right back. And we saw lots of instances of that here when people try and make that turn a little bit, or make that pass a little too early at turn three, because there's what, three DRS zones right in a row there or something like that. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of opportunity. Sorry, Nick, go ahead.
Yeah, and the DRS for the rundown between three and four is right just before the apex of turn three. So if you're too early on the DRS to get by into turn three, you're ahead going into the corner. The person you just overtook has DRS for down to turn four.
Right.
So it's almost saying you need to have a late lunge into the corner.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the, like, the first tracks where we saw last year, I think it was last year, when maybe 2 years ago, when Max and Charles were like breaking at the line to try and get the DRS. This was one of those tracks where they were doing that at this moment, I believe, at turn three. Checo on lap four was able to get by Oscar and up into P6, but Oscar just a few laps later went around the outside at turn six, those faster turns after that last DRS straight, and was able to take P6 back from Checo pretty much at the moment where Oscar got his track limits, I guess. And Lewis was getting closer and closer to Carlos, but Carlos was able to hold him off. Max still pulling away over a 3 second gap on lap nine. And let's see. So yeah, lap 11, I guess, is where we saw the Haases came in on, Kevin came in on that lap, and Nico responded on the next lap. And then Danny and Alonso also pit, but they were, you know, kind of farther back. But both the Haases, who were in point scoring positions, pitting very early, being really aggressive.
Why do you think they pit so early? Was it just like a track position thing, or they,
yeah, I guess trying to undercut,
maybe, because they went on they,
the, did on they the go on oh. Were they a three stop? Did they just go straight for a three stop?
No, they still did a two, they did, they were still sticking with the two stop strategy, but they went onto the hard tire to extend. So
interesting. Yeah, I maybe lost track, but I did see, you know, that they pitted early, and then they seemed to pit a little early the second one. And then I kind of lost track, and I didn't realize that they just stayed out.
They just stayed out. So they just ran, they had new sets of hard tires, and they just ran those long. So maybe not being in traffic after the first stop and being able to push the harder tires maybe was, they thought was quicker.
I mean, with this track being, it's one of the shortest tracks, right? Yeah. At least like lengthwise. So there's almost traffic everywhere. So I guess pitting that early, it's as bunched up as you're going to see it with a good time.
Right. If you want to get a little bit of clear space,
Right. Let's see. Albon on lap 14 pit. Or no, this is where we saw Albon pass Charles right after Albon had come into pit. It was looking really bleak for Charles at this moment. It looked like maybe he had done more damage than just the front wing on that last moment. But even with the tire advantage, you shouldn't be seeing Albon at the back of the race passing Charles.
Yeah, that was a little depressing. I think I texted you at the time, Jason. Like, I didn't expect to see a Williams overtaking a Ferrari today.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Yeah,
poor
that
Charles.
Was unfortunate. Yeah, definitely for Charles. I mean,
there was the tire offset, so it was a little bit, a little bit deceiving, but it looked good from the in-car in the Williams.
We hear Kevin's engineer ask him to preserve his tires when he is trying to chase down Nico, and of course he asks, "Are you asking Nico to do that?" And they say, "Both you guys." And I think he said, "Fuck that." And then just kept pushing behind him in DRS. So that was funny. And they kept battling out. I think Kevin ended up taking the spot, but then Nico taking the spot back on their next set of pit stops. So we saw a little bit of aggressiveness from the Haases. Charles comes in for his second pit stop already on lap 17, dropping back to last place and already close to being lapped by Max on lap 17. So that was just getting worse and worse for Charles at this point. Let's see. Both the Haases were moving up pretty fairly quickly, passing Joe, who I think was the last guy to come into pit for their first stop.
That's right.
So they had a nice tire advantage there. And then finally, the Alpines respond to the Haases because they were the ones they were battling with in the early part of the race, battling for those final few points positions. Alcon's pits from P8, and they're three spots behind the Haases with some work to do. We then see the replay of Fernando crashing into the back of Joe. I mean, it just must have been out of frustration, right? I mean, that's pretty atypical of Fernando.
He was a bit clumsy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Joe, well, he was letting one person by, and then Fernando just came by and was like, me too.
Boink.
Yeah.
It was a bit agricultural. But when they did actually show it, and Martin Brundle, that is, said, oh, actually, that wasn't as bad as he thought it was based on that first view of it, where you didn't really see where Fernando came from. But still, it's Fernando. He's, you know, he should know better than that. And he got a 10-second penalty. So
yeah. And Joe seemed pretty sad about it. I know he's a huge Fernando fan, and on the radio after that, he's just like, why did he do that? He wasn't even like mad, he was just like, come on, man. But yeah, Fernando getting a penalty, and you know, what was already a pretty abysmal race from him just kept getting worse. Lewis and Checo come in for their first stops, and then George and Carlos respond to those. Oscar, I don't know how he was able to see this, but he says that Lewis crossed the pit entry line. He went a little bit wide. His back tires went a little bit out, and it looked like just one tire just kind of barely went over the line.
Yeah, but just got a bit of oversteer, like, because you got to keep it tight to get into that pit entry.
Yeah.
And yeah, on old tires, used tires, you kind of not lose too much time. He just lost the back end a little bit, and there was a nice big rubber black stripe to just perfectly demonstrate to the steward.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's like, it was pretty obvious when you watch the replay, he left rubber exactly where his tire was, and it was well over the line. So,
yeah.
But I must admit, I'd like your opinion on this maybe. I'm getting a bit annoyed with the constant radio chatter of drivers complaining about other drivers breaking the rules. Like, there's people are just get on and drive. We had it last week a lot from Carlos, and this week again with people complaining about who's going over the line, or he moved too much, or he didn't move. And we just, I don't know, maybe
constant
I'm just
tackling. It's like they're like children.
Exactly.
Naturally poked me in the eye.
Right. and their race engineer gets on and is like, yeah, mate, that's right, mate. We saw it, mate. You're right. they never tell him, no, you're wrong, because they got to keep him happy. Oh, yeah, we're right with you. I don't know. I'm just being a grumpy old man.
Sometimes they tell them, like, just get on with the racing, you know? Like, don't worry about that. Just get on with the racing.
We got it.
But I think if that moment hadn't happened with Oscar during qualifying, where he had had his lap time deleted, he might not have said that. But he is probably just so mad about what the stewards did to him that he's just like, let's get everybody penalized.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And then it happens right again, because Max and Lando pit, right?
Yeah.
And they release Max just in front of Lando. So Lando, he did tap the brakes just a little bit as he was entering the pits because Max was being released, but I would not call that an unsafe release. But of course, they play the radio of Lando complaining.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I understand why Lando would be mad, but it didn't seem like it. We've seen way worse not get penalized.
100%.
Yeah, especially in a busy pit lane.
Yeah. And then that's where Lewis got his 5-second penalty for going wide entering the pits. Oscar comes in for his, I guess, his first stop at this point, lap 25, and comes out behind Lewis in P6. Let's see, both the Haases are currently in P8 and P9, so their early pit stop seems to be working for them right now. Still way ahead of the Alpines. Let's see. George was the only one to go on to medium tires for the second stint. Everyone else went on to hard tires, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. Apart from Joe, of course, who might have pit at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we hear a couple laps later when Checo had come in that he was speeding in the pit lane. So he also got a 5-second penalty. Lots of penalties in the first half of the race so far. And then we see, of course, like we see almost every week, both the Alpines next to each other and battling again. And of course, struggling to get by Alonso, who was holding them up, seeing his old team in his mirrors trying to get past him. So I'm sure he's just trying to keep him behind as long as he can. And then Charles comes in for his third stop of the race, not even halfway through the race. And he's already on his third stop. So very disappointing.
Was it at this point or beforehand that the engineer for Charles told him that they predicted that he could get into the points? So it was at some point early in the race when he's done two stops already, he's like dead last or second to last, and they're like, oh, we predict that you'll be in the points by the end. And
yeah, it was probably around here. Yeah,
I was just like, ugh. And then really?
Probably
like,
brought him in for this third pit stop with like right. more than a third of the race left to go.
Yeah,
right. We still on the medium the tires.
It's like you can still be in the points here, but I need new tires. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, so he was going to have to pit again regardless, and unfortunate for him. Danny comes in a few laps later for his second stop. I guess he was in a points position there. Let's see, I guess the Haases responded again they pit on the next two laps after that with, you know, their second stop. And we see Pierre and Ocon battling again. They do race safely this time, to be fair. They left each other space, but then after Pierre finally got by, you just saw that he said ciao on the radio as he's pulling away from Ocon. So
those guys can't wait to get away from each other.
Seriously. Really, it seems like everyone can't wait to get away from Ocon, though, which whoever his teammate is.
Yeah, it's funny because everyone says how nice of a guy he is. It's just that you put the visor down and he just,
yeah,
he's another animal. So
yeah, I mean, what's it been? Checo at Racing Point, and then Alonso at Alpine, and now Pierre at Alpine. Just bad.
But he and Pierre and Ocon had a bit more history than other stuff.
For the first time in a while, lap 45, we see that Lando is catching back up to Max a little bit. He was, you know, closer to 7 or 8 seconds behind, a little under that. And now he's 6 seconds back. And we hear over the radio that McLaren has an extra set of fresh mediums, which they were saying was the better tire. Some people on the hard tires were complaining about how it was driving. So it looked like, you know, McLaren might have an advantage if they, you know, for the last set of pit stops potentially.
Yeah, because you only get two sets of hards in a race weekend. And on sprint weekends, you have to run new mediums in sprint qualifying 1 and 2. And you have to run soft tires. Doesn't that be new? You have to run soft tires in sprint qualifying 3. So that puts a lot of sort of conditions around what tires you have available to the race, for the race rather. And and Red Bull, it seems, were the only team that didn't run any hard tires in the practice session on Friday morning. And they wanted to keep two hard sets because they were expecting high deg for the race. So, but that meant that they've not done any running on the hard tire at all. And expected then to run like 3/4 of the race on them. It was a little bit of a gamble, if you ask me. And I think, you know, the rest of the teams had gone with two fresh sets of mediums for the race.
Yeah. And then a couple laps after that, George was the first of the top six drivers to come in for their second stop. And he was the only one of them to start on mediums, like we had just said. So he comes out in P6 between Oscar and Checo. Oscar, but it is now in DRS range of Lewis ahead of him and was able to get by him fairly easily. I think Carlos had pit in the meantime between these two moments, so Oscar was able to move up into a podium position and into P3. Pretty good work for Oscar at this point, but of course he had to make another stop as well. Let's see. Pierre was able to pass Charles, who I guess was on his fourth stint at this point in the race. Let's see. And then both Max and Lando pit on lap 52, and Oscar came in on that lap as well. There was enough of a gap between Lando and Oscar that they were able to, all three of them, pit on this lap. But Max had a slow stop, and I'd said in our group chat, this is like the first time we've seen Red Bull have any sort of mistake in the pit lane in a long time, and it does not happen often, does it? It was like a over six second pit stop.
Yeah. 6.4, something like that. The left rear, they had trouble getting it off. Getting it on. It all happens so quickly normally that you don't see, but that's a good sort of 3 seconds longer than you'd really expect any pit stop to be.
Yeah.
So, and with a 7 second lead, that meant that coming out of the pits, it was always going to be, halving the lead that Max had over Lando.
Yeah. And I mean, when it was all said and done, they came out, Lando was less than 3 seconds behind. And then Max on the outlap coming out of the pits had a moment locking up into one of the turns. I think it was turn 3, and he went a little bit wide, and that lowered the gap to under 2 seconds. So, I mean, we had a whole nother race on our hands at this point. And of course, me, I'm thinking Lando's already won it at this point. Within 2 seconds behind, I mean, the race is over, right?
Yeah. And it was because about an hour ago, I was like, okay, I'm going to watch from lap 51 onwards again, just to kind of, re-experience it. And yeah, Lando just closed right up on him, like super quick, like within two laps. By lap 54, he was inside DRS.
Yeah. That is right. And Max had a little bit of traffic ahead of him too, which was, either could help him because it gives Max the DRS, or, could distract him or give him not fresh air. And who knows how it could go at this point. But it looked like Lando had kind of lost DRS a bit when Max was able to get by the traffic and Lando had to pass it again. But 4 laps later, he was back within DRS range of Max and getting very, very close. We saw him try a couple times to get by, but Max, to me, seemed like he was weaving super late and, deciding to turn at the last moment in the braking zone when Lando had already made his move, which is against the rules.
Yeah, so lap 54 was when he first got DRS, and straight away Lando went for the move. He went to the move inside, and Max, he turned right across him in the braking zone, about like 50 meters out, which is like halfway into the braking zone,
you can't do that.
He should have got a penalty for that straight away.
Yes.
And then the second time, which was about 3-4 laps later, he went up the inside, but was a little too ambitious. And that was happening just like literally as they were going around turn 9 or 10 of the previous lap. It came up on the screen that Lando had got like black and white flag, final warning for track limits, got to turn 3 and outbraked himself and went straight on, exceeding track limits. So we all kind of knew what was going to happen there. He gave the place back. And then 2 laps later, he went for it again. Max ran wide and carried on. So that gets us to round about lap 60.
But
yep.
But it was frustrating. I think they mentioned it on the commentary that they were then driving with the threat of penalties hanging over their head and nobody really knowing what was going to happen. Like, is Lando going to get a 5-second penalty? Is Verstappen going to get a penalty for, you know, moving under braking? Nobody knew. And yet they were still battling it out on track, you know.
Yeah.
That was a little frustrating that it was taking a while. I forget who's the ex-driver that was... Do you know who was doing the review?
Johnny Herbert.
Oh, Johnny Herbert was it?
Yeah, Johnny Herbert was the steward, driver steward.
It puts a little bit of pressure on, you know. You can't. It's not like soccer or American football where you can stop the clock and like get the call right. That you know, right. you can't stop the racing.
Can't stop the race. And then as they're coming through turn one and two, Harry Benjamin, who's covering for Crofty, was saying, "We really hope this gets resolved on the track," to your point, Martin, about not knowing what the penalties are, because we don't want this concluded in the stewards' room.
Yeah.
And then as they came into the next corner, Jason, it's over to you.
lap 63, Lando gets what seems like the moment where he might be able to make something happen, going up on the inside of Max at turn three again. But Max breaks again and moves over to the right and also goes wide, and they both end up going off track, bumping wing and tire, and they both end up getting a puncture at this moment. I mean, I was screaming at the TV. I mean, 'cause
at that point, I thought that Max had got a puncture and Lando had gotten away with it, but I thought he had front wing damage from that second contact when they were off the track. So the first contact was Max covered the inside. And he was well off the racing line. Lando came up and Max just moved over, squeezed him.
Yeah.
And the tires just hit right next to each other. And we see it quite often where they just bounce off each other and everything's fine. But I guess they just... the angle that it was, it just kind of cracks the rim that where the bead of the tire is, and that's it. It just instant punctures for both of them.
Yeah, and not to mention, Max obviously had a puncture. I mean, it like almost exploded immediately. I mean, you could see it like whipping around as he's going by, and then he's defending Lando behind him when he's got this exploded tire, not letting him go through. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, and I don't, because when they made contact, it was Lando's right side against Max's left side.
Yeah.
And then as they were going down towards turn four, Max forces Lando off the track. And his right side is off the track. Now, did that contribute to the fact that Lando's tire then started disintegrating rather than staying in one piece like Max's did? Because Max managed to get round and the carcass of his tire stayed together. But when you saw some of the stuff, the shots from the rear of Lando with the tire all in disintegrating, and like you could just see bits of F1 car just flying out all over the place where it's just the tires just beating up the floor and all the stuff underneath is just being shed out the back.
Yeah, it was. Did you guys, it was on that, but hang on. Lando was on the outside of, it was on the outside of Max.
Yeah, he was on the outside of Max. He was on the left side of the track.
Yeah,
Max
when he contacted initially and Max moved to, Max did not leave a full car's width on the outside.
He closed the gap.
He closed the door. He was definitely in the wrong. You can't do that. He gets annoyed that when people do that to him, which, to be fair, Verstappen hasn't been raced that hard the last few years. Anytime he's behind people, they tend to get out the way because they're not racing him. So this is the first time in like a year and a half, these last few races where Verstappen is sort of back in a fight again and Lando's bringing it. But Verstappen was definitely at fault. He didn't leave a full car's width on the outside, bumped tires. And then, like you said, he didn't leave enough space on the inside for Lando to go past him when he clearly had a puncture. Both very naughty. Made me think of Schumacher in the 90s doing something similar when he damaged his car trying to stop like Damon Hill going through or Villeneuve
or Max 2 years ago or 3 years ago or however it was. So, I mean, this is the first time since that season, right? Since Lewis and Max were battling, that there's been anyone that's had a shot of coming from behind Max and catching him.
Yeah, overtaking him for the lead or putting any pressure on him. Yeah, this is
It was very pre 2023 Max.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
And even the one race that Lando won, you could say it was because of that one safety car where he got the advantage and that was how he was able to win. So Max was fine with that, right? But now you've got this guy chasing him and he's got to revert back to the way that he used to be.
Yeah. I saw a quote that said something like, you know, you're leading by 70 points, Max. Why didn't you just let him through? Like, you know, it's not going to make that much difference. And Max basically in typical Formula One driver fashion said, I come to win. I don't come to drive for second place. Why would I let anybody through?
But even if Max, even if he let him through, they knew he was getting a 5 second penalty. They knew that Lando was getting a 5 second penalty. And so Max could have just let him through, stayed in DRS zone for the next 5-6 laps and job done.
Had that been announced at that point that Lando was getting a 5 second penalty? I don't know.
I think he was already retired when it had come through.
The penalty was declared as they were showing the in-car view of Lando losing the back end going around turn 6 because he had a puncture. But that's just when it comes up on the messaging. The teams all know before it comes up on.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. But, you know, in the moment, you know, Verstappen's not going to calculate all of that, is he? He's just going to act on instinct. He ended up getting a 10-second penalty, Verstappen, for his whole part in that. So the whole world agrees that he was at fault.
Yeah, except for he had like a 25-second advantage to the guy behind him. So
yeah, ultimately, when he came out in sixth place after driving a lap of the course with three tires, he was still well ahead of, you know.
Yeah, so that was Max in first and Lando in second. So nobody won and...
So to the benefit of George Russell, who had been the only one to do a different strategy from the second stint on, was able to get that early pit stop, maybe taking that advice from what the Haases had done earlier and coming in earlier and getting that track advantage. But he was in a pretty comfortable spot, at least it seemed immediately, but Oscar wasn't that far behind him.
Yeah, it's funny, just literally just before the instant, the commentators were saying, they were talking about how much faster Oscar was and Carlos, although Carlos was a bit further back, was than George Russell. Like that Oscar was really starting to hunt down George. And at this point, I'm thinking, wow, I mean, because obviously George has won a Grand Prix, albeit a couple of years ago. And I was thinking, man, could this be Oscar's shot? You know? Okay. But then the virtual safety car came out and that neutralized the race just long enough that really it kind of sustained a bit of advantage. And then I don't know whether it was a tire thing or what, but it just didn't really seem to make that same sort of progress on George after the virtual safety car that we'd seen for the three or four laps just before that. So.
Yeah, by the time the virtual safety car had come back in, the gap fluctuated a bit between around 2.5 seconds, but I think that it stayed around that until the end of the race. And then, you know, George was able to get the second win of his career. You know, all things considered, of course, I am angry at Max and frustrated for Lando, but if anyone could win that, it's great that George was able to make it happen.
Yeah, big fan of George. Yeah. Do virtual safety cars come in, though? They just end.
Right? I guess you're right,
But it did come in, and the race came in to George. So, congrats. You got to be in it to win it. I mean, still a podium for George was a solid result, especially when you're looking at how Max and Lando are right now. You know, the Mercedes is clearly the third slash fourth fastest car. I mean, they're very, very close with Ferrari. Yeah. That's going to be a development battle to kind of keep where they are there. But, you know, solid drive because he's beaten his teammate. He's beaten the Ferraris. He's beaten the other Red Bull to get into that third and one of the McLarens to be in that position. So it's not like the race was handed to him. It was kind of handed to him. But he was third, and he won it because you have to be there to pick up the pieces whenever anything happens in front. So good for George. Very happy for him.
But of course, as expected, I guess it depends when they close the voting, but Lando was voted driver of the day. If they handed out points for driver of the day, Lando would be winning the championship by a mile, I think.
Yeah, right.
It's like Lando of the week winner is Lando.
Nobody ever votes for Max driver of the day. He could dominate completely and they would always give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
Did you guys notice that? So obviously when Verstappen came in on lap 64, he put on soft tires.
That's right.
And obviously he was doing fast laps then on the soft tires, because he needed to maintain that gap back to Hulkenberg. So he needed to be more than 10 seconds so that it wouldn't hurt him. So he was getting the fastest lap. But then Alonso pitted on lap 68, put on brand new soft tires and took the fastest lap.
I did not notice that.
I saw him pit and I was thinking, if he takes the fastest lap, that's going to be hilarious. But then I kind of wrote it off because there was one lap left.
He only did 70 laps because he was lapped. So on lap 69 or the 70th lap, he did the fastest lap. He only beat Verstappen's time by a few tenths.
I didn't even look at the end. Oh, that's...
yeah. Little dark Alonso.
Yeah, right. That's amazing.
Because I'd seen that he pitted and I was like, yeah, but that Aston, it's not quick. So I didn't even think to check if he actually got the fastest lap at the end.
Yes, he did.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess winners on the day, obviously George, I guess, you know, picking up the pieces, Mercedes in general, Lewis ending up with P4. It seems like Toto said they're fighting to win the Constructors' Championship. I mean, they can keep putting in races like this. Who knows? Yeah, like the way Checo's driving.
Yeah.
I mean, Red Bull are driving with one car almost at the moment.
Yeah. So when that one car only gets fifth, it makes a difference. If only Lando could have managed to stay on and pick up some points, but the car was just too badly damaged to stay in the race there.
Yeah, I hope Lando can see. I'm sure he can see the bigger picture. He's going to be very frustrated, but you know, he's
going to be super motivated for Silverstone next week.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw any of the post race interviews, but Lando, even he was obviously we've spoken about how close Lando and Max have gotten over the past couple seasons, but Lando was saying how he had lost quite a bit of respect for Max by the way he had handled that, and that if Max does not apologize, which I'm sure Max is not going to apologize, that he would lose even more respect for him, and it could turn into a spicy season between these two guys.
I think I saw two interviews. I saw the one on Sky and then I heard the one that Lawrence Barreto did, and I'm assuming that Lawrence Barreto was like a little bit further down the line. And maybe Max had, based on all people's questions up until that point, including the Sky one, which was probably earlier in proceedings, is starting to get the picture that everyone is telling him is his fault.
Right.
So in the Barreto interview, he was a little bit more circumspect and didn't direct any sort of comment towards Lando. It was that he said, you know, well, no one likes to see that, you know, races end that way. I'll go back and we'll look at it and see if things could have been done differently and learn from that and all whatnot. So he wasn't saying that it was his fault.
Right.
He's basically saying, everyone is telling me it's totally my fault. and so I'm never going to say sorry, but I'll, you know, maybe have a quiet word with Lando on the plane if they were sharing a plane home together, which they usually do.
Maybe not this race weekend.
Maybe not.
And I mean, I'm sure Oscar would have loved the race win, but still a P2 finish for him, and he would have been in a great spot with a P2 and a P4 if that all had not happened. So, great for Oscar this weekend.
Yeah.
The Haas is coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah. But just quickly, one final one on Oscar. That track limits on qualifying, which robbed him of third spot on the grid. And could that whole race have ended differently if that penalty hadn't been given out? I don't know. We'll never know.
We'll never know.
Yeah.
But the Haas is, like you said, an odd strategy, and they just kind of went out and stayed out and let other people pit around them, and two cars in the points.
Yeah. Nico's best result, P6, best result since the 2019 Italian Grand Prix. How about that? Pretty awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then Danny and Pierre both getting in the points, beating their teammates. They're both going to be happy about that.
Yep. Yeah. I think in Coupes F1, I think I was probably on for an all-time high score until
everybody was, Nick.
And then everyone got 9 points.
Yeah. I mean, good segue, but this week or this round, one of the lowest points totals for most people, with Charles not being in the points, obviously Lando and not be finishing in the points, and Verstappen not winning where most people have him. 183 points from Leslie H and Tronchignet, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And at the top of the leaderboard, the top four guys all stayed the same, with R. Heatley still leading the way. Our own prancing to first, sticking in fourth. Prediction consensus doing his thing again. Doing their thing again, sneaking up a couple of spots. Nick, you managed to just stay in 58th. Everybody moved around you, but you didn't move. And I dropped down 17, and Jason, you came up 9 points. So that's looking dangerously close. I need to get onto my engineers and check my upgrades, because I need some new parts for my car to maintain that gap to you.
If I can just get in the top 100 at the way the first half went, I'll be happy with that.
Yes. You're doing a McLaren 2023 type resurgence.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Wow. And then, like we said, next race, which is next weekend.
That's right. The third week in a row.
Yep. Is the British Grand Prix, obviously. Lots of high speed corners, but some slow speed corners as well. So, should be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, plenty of opportunity for things to happen. We saw people coming together, and especially Max and Hamilton. Is that the first corner where they came together a few years ago?
No, it was Maggots and Beckett's, I think it's called.
Yeah, we had
something
the,
like that.
We had the crash with. With the,
it's the old, it's the old first corner.
Oh, the old first corner. That's right. I'm getting showing my age. Is that the same corner where Yuki went up as well, and his car like slipped down between the fence and the tire?
No, that was Joe. That was the new first corner.
See, this is why I need you guys to fact check me. The last few podcasts have just been spouting rubbish, and nobody's here to tell me I'm wrong.
Went through a milestone birthday, and now he's instantly old man.
That's right. Forgetful, man.
Doesn't know his what's from his who's from his.
Exactly. I had to click the 50 to 59 button on a form.
Ooh, nice. This week.
Ooh, did that smart a little.
It's all good. It's all good.
He has to give up the corner. I had to nose ahead. What is wrong with these people?
Thanks for listening to the Undercuts review of the 2024 Austrian Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and join us next time for our review of the British Grand Prix. See you then.